The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We're going to be talking about something that's a little sensitive, yeah. And it's something that people doesn't want to talk about. But we're going to be doing the talking here. So guys, help me welcome Ahalia Ramdas. She's a psychologist from the Children's Authority. Good afternoon, Ahalia. Am I pronouncing your name correct?
Good evening. It's Ahalia.
Ahalia, because I'm seeing it spelling it. I said, I wonder how to pronounce this lovely name. Well, welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. I'm Carrie V. And I know we're going to be talking about a huge topic, a topic that people don't like to talk about.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is still very, very taboo to speak about this particular topic, but it is an important one for us to bring to the forefront and openly discuss.
Yes. So, guys, what we're going to be talking about today is incestuous. Am I pronouncing that correctly as well?
Yes.
Incestuous relationships at home. And we are here with Ahalia Ramdas. She's a psychologist and from the Children's Authority. So before we continue, Ahalia, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and, you know, like, what make you get into in this field? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am Ahalia Ramdas. I'm a clinical psychologist and I have been employed with the Children's Authority for the last 5 years, practicing as a psychologist at first, and then last year moving on to becoming a team lead with the Mount Hope Assessment Center.
Right.
I think from ever since I've known myself, I've always wanted to help people, to be of help. Mm-hmm. And so at first I wanted to be a lawyer, but then my interest got piqued in the field of psychology, and here I am today.
And here you are today doing all the awesome work, because I mean, this is something quite, and I would say, because I find it would be a little difficult for me to do. So it takes a special person to actually deal with things like this. Incestuous relationship. Let me break down that term for the person so I listen and don't really understand what it is we're talking about, you know. So listen, Olya, this is something important that we have to listen to, because it is happening here in Trinidad and Tobago. I'm correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is happening.
So keep your ears out. Of course, we'll be taking calls as well. We'll be taking messages, because I know persons will have questions to ask you. And, you know, like, if they're in a predicament like that, what should they do? You know, like, things like that. It's quite interactive. All right? So let's break down the term. Incestuous relationship.
Quite simply, a sexual activity or sexual relations between family members. Mm-hmm. So parents, children, siblings, grandparents and grandchildren, uncles, aunts, close relations, mm-hmm. engaging in sexual relationships. So that is what we would term incest.
Right. So it's more or less, you know, within the family and your house. Yeah?
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So what is there signs? Can you tell if someone is having that issue at home by just like looking at them?
So I want to be very clear when I make this statement. So at the Children's Authority, we deal with cases of child abuse and maltreatment.
Right.
And I'm putting this forward for us to really understand how big of a problem it is here in Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of cases, and we're talking about 4,000 to 5,000 cases a year, oftentimes we find that in cases of child sexual abuse, the perpetrator is someone known to the child.
Right.
The perpetrator is someone within the home. It's someone related. Yeah? And so I say that to say incest is a very big problem across Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have circumstances where, because it doesn't quite distinguish between forced and non-forced, right? It's just the sexual relationships or relations between family members. And so there will be instances where it is non-forced, which does not make it right, of course.
Right.
And that persons are participating in the relationship, whether they've been coerced, whether they've been threatened, whether they have come to learn it as being normal.
Mm.
not quite acceptable because it's still very much hidden and kept within the family.
Yeah.
But they themselves have accepted it as normal, or whether they are being forced to engage in these acts over time, right? It is something that is widespread.
Wow.
We are seeing it happening. We are seeing fathers as perpetrators, mothers as perpetrators, grandparents as perpetrators, siblings, cousins, uncles, aunts, the full gamut of relations. We are seeing them as perpetrators of sexual abuse of our children.
Right. And you mentioned something earlier about sometimes a child may see it as something normal. So that means over a period of time, it have to be happening for them to think, now, well, this is something that we do in the house, you know, this is something that we do in the family. But that doesn't mean that it's right. Right?
That's right.
Now that we are touching on that, how can children be protected from this? How can we get away from that? How do we get involved? How can they be protected by this, from this?
So you asked the question a little while ago and I realized I didn't answer it. So I'm going to stick that in and then answer that question.
Okay. Yeah.
So you asked how we know, how do we notice? Well, sometimes it's hidden quite well. So we're not able to pick up on it just from, you know, at first looking at a child or looking at a family. But of course, the signs would be very similar or the same as child abuse, right? So you would find a child that may be withdrawn or emotionally unstable. There may be outbursts, crying spells, these things. A child may prefer isolation, or on the flip side, they may be a little bit clingy. You would see or notice avoidance of a certain person.
Right.
They may be very secretive. Of course, you're going to see things like, or potentially see things like stains and discharge that is not normal for a particular age of child. You may even have body odors, right? Because the younger a child is sexualized, you know, their body changes.
Yeah.
And so you might pick up on these things that are not quite normal. And of course, there's always just the air of secrecy. You would notice the adults or the siblings even that's perpetrating these acts will have a certain amount of control over their victims or, you know, and you would find that they tend to want to spend a lot of alone time with the person that is in the room, that they are in this, engaging in these acts with, always trying to pull them aside, always have a secret. You would find that there's a lot more attention being placed on this individual.
Yeah.
And you would also see children who are acting and behaving quite adult or much older than their developmental age, because this particular act, engaging in sexual relations, is something that is very adult in nature. And so you find they're emboldened to act a particular way sometimes even. So all of those things are things for us to notice. And how we prevent it is by having these discussions.
Right.
Talking about it openly, bringing it to the forefront, because too oftentimes it's hidden for shame or to protect the family name or, you know, some other reason that we don't want people to know, and it is hidden.
Yeah.
And so when it is hidden, we're not aware of the problem. We cannot intervene. Persons cannot intervene because it's so kept, a well-kept secret.
Right.
And oftentimes it's known. It's known within the family members, but shame or guilt or some other thing, fear, threats, are keeping them silent. So we have to talk about it. We have to say, hey, this thing called incest, it's not normal. It is illegal, right? So it is one of the offenses under the Sexual Offenses Act. Mm-hmm. And we have to talk about it, bring it to light, and empower children to know that this isn't right. And if this is happening to you, then you need to tell someone. You need to tell a trusted adult. If it's not someone within your home and it's someone within your school environment or your church environment, temple, mosque, outside, after school activity, anywhere that they also may be spending time,
mm-hmm.
and there's a trusted adult there, it's important that they know they have to tell. They have to tell someone this is happening to me, and so we could take the appropriate action.
So, like, now that you mentioned that, let me ask this. If you, as, let's say, for instance, I'm someone's neighbor, and I suspect that this is taking place in a home with children, with half children there, what is the next step for me? Is it that I call the police and tell them I suspect, or how that response would be, you know, like how are we dealing with that?
So we always tell people to err on the side of caution. If you suspect please do not go and attempt to investigate on your own.
Oh, true.
Please do call the Children's Authority of the Police and
don't
make
do
a relevant report, because the law makes provision for making a report in good faith.
Right.
So let's say you've made this report, it's been investigated, it turns out the allegations are not true. You can't be held liable because it's a child we're talking about, and you made it in good faith, believing that, hey, mm-hmm. something is off here, please check it out.
Right.
So we want to encourage persons to make the relevant reports, whether it's to the TTPS and the Child Protection Unit, which is under the Special Victims Department,
right.
or directly to the Children's Authority.
Children's
we encourage
Authority.
Persons to do so.
Nice. So how can we reach out to the Children's Authority? Is there a number that we can easily call? Is there a toll-free? We got to send an email. How we can reach out to you all as soon as possible?
So we have a 24-hour hotline, 24/7,
right.
Which is 996.
996.
Yes, 996. If you make a call, you can make a report. You can do so anonymously as well. If per chance, because we have quite a large number of phone calls coming into us, as you can imagine, someone does not pick up, they will return the phone call. So they will actually call you back. So, you know, there's no instance where it will be missed.
Right.
You can also visit our website, right? Mm-hmm. Children's Authority website. And there's a very easy and quick form that you can plug in the information and submit it. And it goes to our registry unit as well.
Yeah.
Of course, if you choose to call the police, the TTPS, once they receive a report that involves a child, they will contact the Children's Authority and relay that information to us.
Yeah, and if it's anything that they would do their investigation into the home and maybe question one or two persons and question the child and stuff like that.
So there are two types of investigations that could come out from a report, right?
Mm-hmm.
The police, of course, will investigate or inquire for criminal purposes, right? So that is their process. The Children's Authority does what we call it is a psychosocial investigation. So that's the type of investigation you do, and we receive a report and it's been substantiated to be true. Then we go in and we look at all of the other elements that are going on. So our processes don't necessarily lead to criminal prosecution, but it leads to understanding the impact of what is happening with this child or the children and finding best solutions, interventions that will help them recover from this trauma, recover from this circumstance.
You mentioned that with their trauma, and that is the next question I was coming with, right? Trauma, because you talking to me about this and I like, oh my God, I don't even want to be in a predicament where I know a household that is doing that. I don't even want to think about that. Trauma. How does the Children's Authority get involved with trauma? What do they do? How can someone reach out to I don't know, get like counseling or how that go? Talk to us about that, dealing with trauma.
So how the Children's Authority responds in circumstances where an adverse event has occurred. So some form of maltreatment, child abuse, whether it's physical abuse, psychological, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, whether it's any form of neglect or children being exposed to any sort of criminal activity. Recently in the news, we've seen a lot of different things come up.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past couple of years, we've seen a lot of children inadvertently being exposed to criminal elements and sort of getting caught in the crossfires. And so once something like that occurs and it comes to the attention of the Children's Authority, we will investigate. We will see if there's a need for us to intervene. So are there children involved in the matter that have been exposed to any one of those negative events? And then we conduct our psychosocial investigations. We go in, we get a sense of what has happened. We interview several people, family members, members of the community, the child themselves or the children, and we get a sense of what's happening. We also do psychological
recording in progress.
So it will be referred to the assessment unit, which is where I work.
Right.
And we will conduct both medical examinations, psychological evaluations to get a sense of what is the impact.
Mm-hmm.
What has this triggered in this child? What is the result of all of these things happening? And from there, we create what we call treatment plans with the necessary interventions based on the results of the evaluations to move forward. So we're taking the children from that situation. And we also work along with the family, right? So let's say it's happening, it's not in the immediate environment of the child. So it's not happening exactly in the home of the child. We will work with that family to build capacity.
Right.
Right? So there are circumstances where the children will be removed.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly returned at a later date or removed outright.
Uh-huh.
But oftentimes we believe that the family unit is the best place for a child to grow and develop.
Yes.
And so we also work with families to build capacity,
mm-hmm.
Referring them to multiple. You talk about how they can access help, refer them to the various stakeholders, Childline, National Family Services, you know, all of these other agencies that provide parenting sessions and counseling and all these things to help just overall build capacity for these children.
Right.
And some circumstances, the children may have access to help from our internal psychologists, but we do work quite a lot with private practitioners as well as public stakeholders.
Right. So, guys, if you're now joining us, good afternoon. It's just about 27 minutes after 5. I know you're now joining us and you're saying, well, what it is Carrie speaking about? We are talking about incestuous relationships at home with our special guest, Ahelia Ramdas, and she's a psychologist and from the Children's Authority. So we're talking about incest in the home and how traumatizing it could be. We spoke about some certain signs that you could notice. Sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not. So you just have to kind of watch how the person operates, the victims operates, right? So let's talk solutions. We reach mm-hmm. here now. Let's talk solution because, yes, it's happening in Trinidad and Tobago. It is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you're listening here, what you need to do, if you know anyone or any child is experiencing this at their home, incest in their home, you could call 996. It's 996,
yes.
Right?
996.
Or you could even call the TTPS. And they would come in a jiffy because I know anything with regard to a child, the TTPS on the ball with that. So Ahelia, let's talk about solutions. How can we minimize or prevent anything like this from happening in the future? What can we as the public do, as the citizenry of Trinidad and Tobago do? What can we do?
We have to take ownership of the problem. So you might not be committing this act. You might not be engaged in an incestuous relationship. You might not be abusing a particular child. But as a society, we have to come to the place where we accept, recognize that this is a problem that is widespread in our country, mm-hmm. that we know. I am sure every single individual in Trinidad and Tobago knows of a circumstance where a child is being maltreated, whether sexually, whether physically, whether emotionally, whether they are being kept from school, whether they're being forced into child labor, mm-hmm. all of these things. We all know something. And instead of turning a blind eye and saying, that's not my problem, it's not affecting my life, we have to take ownership, stand up and say, we're going to do something different. Members of families who know, because many times incest is generational. It is something that happens when you investigate, you realize mommy turned a blind eye because it was done to her.
Right.
Right? And the children are then suffering because mommy herself is caught in that trauma. She's caught up in and she has not had help. And, you know, she's fearful. She's all of these things. And when you trace it down, you notice what had been happening for generations.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come to that place where we're willing to call it out to our family members or friends, that it's not right. You need to stop doing these things. Of course, we don't want people to rush into danger. So if you don't think you're in a position where you can call it out, make the relevant reports, and the authorities will have conversations with our children. We have to teach them. We have to sensitize them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to know what abuse is. They have to know what the threats are.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, and it's something that we grew up seeing on TV and hearing about, we think the threat is outside. We think it's a scary stranger that we don't know. We teach children stranger danger. And we ignore the fact that dangers reside within our homes, within our families. So we have to teach children to recognize abuse, know what it is, recognize the signs of abuse, recognize when someone is ill-treating them, threatening them, right? And I always tell persons, we have to build the appropriate foundations with our children.
Yes.
We have to have good relationships with our children so that they know they can trust us, they can come to us if something has happened without fear of retribution or without fear of being ignored or belittled, right? And that takes work. Parenting is a huge, huge job that takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so we have to start investing in building appropriate relationships, teaching our children right from wrong, what is danger, how to keep yourself safe, how to get help. And if you do recognize these things, you have to make the relevant calls.
Yes.
Even if it's happening in a quote-unquote consensual way, or you think the children themselves are engaging in it, because it's what they're seeing. Children, from very young, practice what they see. What is being modeled for them around.
The first teacher is actually the parents, so in the home, you know. That's the first place where learning environment. Yeah.
But so,
let me not cut you across, but I wanted to you mentioned about stranger danger and everything like that, right? For the children who are listening right now, can you advise them as to, you know, like how you could identify that something like this may happen, or if you understand what I'm coming from, you know, like what to look out for.
So we're what the child or children
should look out for to see that this is going to happen.
So we're looking out for someone who takes an unnatural interest in us. And I know that's a funny thing to say, because as a child who might be deprived of certain things, someone shows up and is showing you care and attention and is giving you things you don't usually get. It's easy to feel like if they care about me, but that is the trick of grooming.
Mm-hmm.
The trick of grooming is to make a child believe I am the one that cares for you, not your family or not the other persons in the home. I am the one who's meeting your need. I am the one who's providing for you. They don't like you, love you. They're not providing for you. And so that's the trick of it. So you want to teach children to be mindful of persons taking an interest, an unusual interest in them, or persons who just make them uncomfortable. We also say that it's cultural. It's a cultural thing for us to force our children to hug and kiss every tante and every uncle and everybody we grew up with and we feel as, you know, family and friend and these things. And a lot of times children know when they're uncomfortable around someone because maybe they may have touched them in a particular way or looked at them that made them uncomfortable. We need to start trusting our children and listening to them when they say, hey, I'm uncomfortable in this situation. Can you help me? Can you protect me? It's our job to protect them in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way for children to keep themselves safe is if they have the information.
Right.
If we are frank with them. Now, we're not going to talk to a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old the same way we're going to talk to a 15, 16-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to be mindful of the language. We have to still tell them the same basic things, right? If it's a very young child, we teach them okay and not okay touches.
Yeah. Okay and not okay touches, right?
Yeah. Good and the difference between good and bad secrets.
Mm-hmm.
We teach them those. That's the language that we use to teach them these particular things.
Yeah.
But then a 15, 16-year-old during adolescence, you are curious about sex and you're curious about all of these different things.
Yeah.
So then you have a little bit more freedom to actually use the right terms and explain to them why this is not okay. We have a lot of teenagers who believe they're in relationships with adults.
Yeah.
When legally they cannot be in relationships with adults, because once you engage in a sexual activity with anyone who is over the age of 18, that person is committing child abuse.
Yes.
Right? So you can't have a boyfriend who's 25 and you are 15. So we have to sensitize them and teach them. And oftentimes, you know, there are family members who encourage it because of the benefit. What are we getting? Money, food, protection. Mm-hmm. And we have to start dismantling all of those beliefs and those attitudes that have, you know, been set up over the generations and over the years. And we have to choose the side of truth. And choose the side of protecting our children against these evils that we get too comfortable accepting.
Right. How can we edify these children? Or let's say, for instance, the teenagers. Let's start with them because they're big, right? How can we edify them more? How can we reach out to them to let them know, hey, you see, you're only 15. This 25-year-old is not for you. This 21-year-old, this 18-year-old, this 19-year-old is not for you. How can we edify them in you know, making them aware of this is not right?
So the foundation block is relationship.
Right.
If you do not have good relationships with your teenagers, it's that much more difficult to get through to them.
Mm.
It's that much more difficult for them to hear you, because naturally, developmentally, teenagers in that stage where they believe their friend over their family members.
True.
Right? They are trying to learn about their own strengths and their own interests. They are trying to see who they are as persons. And it's normal for them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the key thing there is, if we develop good relationships with our children, we model the right behaviors and attitudes and beliefs for our children. We are supportive of our children, right? And it's not airy-fairy. We're not saying, by no stretch am I saying, befriend your children and let them do whatever.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act between having structure between openly communicating your expectations and the consequences for going against what the rules are. It's mm-hmm. a balance. It's a really delicate balance that we have to maintain. Mm-hmm. So foundation with our teenagers. And when we have to be frank, we have to acknowledge that, hey, they're not little children. It's not that they don't know anything. We have to have those open conversations and stop skirting around the issues and treat them like their age and their stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, ask them, what are your thoughts on this? What do you think? And have that discourse with them.
Right. What do children authority have in place, let's say, for instance, online? Is it that these children, they could go online and learn things from the children authority page? Or what do you have to be aware?
So the Children's Authority tends to partner a lot with a lot of agencies. We go into a lot of schools when we do school caravans, we go into communities, we have our information booths set up, and we do sensitizations for schools on specific topics if they ask, for staff, for students. We also do a lot of these media interviews, whether it's radio, whether it's television. Mm-hmm. Of course, the TV ones may be a little bit early because it's the morning shows that we typically target.
Yes.
There's also we do have our Facebook page, we do have a presence on Instagram, and so there's information there.
Right.
We have our posts, we have our videos, there's information there. Anyone can go onto our social media handles and can access this information.
All the information.
If there are persons who want the Children's Authority to come into schools to do particular things, you can always send an email to info@ttchildren.org and send a request. Hey, I'm from such and such school, such and such religious group, such and such community. I would like you all to come into the community to really meet with the children and the parents and to speak about abuse or to speak about behavior management or speak about anything that you think we would have the ability to impart that information to them. And you know, we're always willing to do so.
Yeah. Because that's what we need to know. You see the information out there and you know, edifying these families, people, even myself, because there are things that you mentioned that I didn't know about. And on the Children Authority page, I'm very sure that if you can go there, you can check it out and you'll get all the information. Just remember that important number. Just like all of us call 999 for the police, 996. You see, that is the most important number, 996. If you suspect that your neighbor or some family, it has some kind of incest going on inside it with some children and things, all your 996 is the number to call and just say, you could do it anonymously, Do it anonymously, say, here's what, I feel something going on in this house, all you need to come and check, please. So is the address and call George, because this is something that we had to come out from it, because it's happening. It's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, 20 minutes to 6 o'clock. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to share with our listeners and anyone who's or not?
I want to make sure and assure public that might be listening that I know there's sometimes a bit of fear in reaching out to the authorities when something is happening, because you are worried that the children will be taken. You are worried that you're going to break up the family or break up a family and all of these things. But we have to ask ourselves, if we don't act, then we are leaving children to the hands of abuse. We're leaving children to suffer. We're leaving children without an outlet or without an avenue for help. And so I want to say to everyone out there that our goal is not to break up families. Our goal is not to cause more harm. Our goal is to go in, get a sense of what is happening. So in a situation where it's children, siblings within a home, of course, we always encourage to make the necessary reports. The police will follow up on their end to see if there's a criminal matter to follow up on. And we will do our psychosocial investigations to see what is the root of this. Why is this happening? Have the children seen something? What is the belief system that they have? And then we're going to give them the right types of intervention. If it's possible to separate the children and provide supervision within the home while they get their therapy to deal with what's happening, while they get their interventions and help, then okay.
Yeah.
If it's not possible, then we remove one of the children to another home of a relative or a friend or a safe space, a fit person, whatever safe space we've identified, and then the interventions continue. And we work with the family to build capacity so that they can come back together.
Yeah.
Of course, if it's a parent that is abusing the child, that's a whole other ballgame, because then it's a whole other element of you know, the law and charges that might be laid on all of these things. And so we want to be mindful that when we refuse to report, when we keep it hidden, we are making the problem bigger.
Worse, yeah.
And we are putting a child at more risk.
Yeah.
Because the long-term effects of abuse, we all know, of course, is more distress, more health, mental health challenges, depression, suicide ideation, suicide attempts, substance abuse, and all of these things, anxiety, trauma, PTSD, all of these things are potentials if we leave a situation untouched and unreported.
Yeah.
So we wanna know, what kind of life do we want to have for our children? They may not be your biological children, but if children are the future, if children are meant to be the leaders of tomorrow and who are meant to carry the society, wouldn't we want to ensure that they have a bright future, one that is not marred by abuse and trauma?
Yeah.
You know, so I just want to encourage everyone, as scary as it is, let's try to help.
You mentioned just now that another fear that people face is that, you know, you will take away the child. And, you know, to break up families. But I like what you said. It's not about breaking up families. Think about, if you do not say something, it could possibly be worse without having that type of intervention. So it's not about breaking up families. That's what take that out of your head one time. Because that's the first thing people are thinking about. When you say something about children's authority or the police, the first thing that comes to people's mind, Ahelia, oh, gosh, you're coming and take my children. You understand what I'm saying? But it's not about that. It's about getting the child out of that kind of that environment. And if it reaching a case where you could keep the child there and do the therapy and everything is smooth and everything going good and everything, you'll be good to go. Yeah?
Yeah. So we just look for persons that are receptive
to
the kind of intervention that we're recommending and who are working along with us. The children are assigned caseworkers who work with the family throughout the entire process. So at no stretch, at no time are we saying, here, go and do this, and we're just leaving you to figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
We are working with you throughout the entire process.
Mm.
So there's a lot of help.
Yes.
There are a lot of, not only with the Children's Authority, there are a lot of agencies that are out here trying to do good work, trying to give information, trying to provide support. We just have to stop closing our eyes to it, and we have to get online and check it out.
Yes.
Go and see what government services are available. If money is a challenge, there are free services available.
Mm-hmm.
Go and check out what National Family Services have been doing, Ministry of Social Development. Go and see what's available and see how you can learn something new, how you can access some help, how you can provide information to someone who might be struggling.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget the number, 996. 996, guys. Ahelia, thank you so much for joining us today and, you know, shedding light on this this topic, incest in the home, with regards to children. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope to have you
thank
here
you
again.
Thank you so much for
having
us. All right. Of course, anytime.
Have a good one. Thanks so much, Ahelia.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.